Tuesdays are manic. Wednesdays are wild. But on Friday, things are going to get a little freaky.
When politics, guns, and the Second Amendment all meet, to paraphrase journalist Hunter S. Thompson, things get strange, and maybe none stranger than what just happened in Democrat-leaning Colorado.
Friday.
But really, what this story really is about, it's about voter suppression.
David, I'm going to cut you off right there, because if we talk voter suppression, I've read reports of lack of popularity on your behalf. Let's just not go there.
So people didn't know what it was about. There was voter confusion. We didn't even know what the rules of the game were. This is the United States of America. We didn't know what the rules of the game were a week out from the election.
That's not what we're talking about.
Thank God it's Friday.
Last spring, Bernal Stutzman, a florist in the Tri-Cities, found herself in hot water when she refused to serve a gay couple planning to marry.
Well, we got all the way through. I grabbed his hand and I said, I'm sorry, I can't do your wedding because of my relationship with Jesus Christ.
The First Freedom Preservation Act, sponsored by Republican Senator Mike Padden of Spokane.
This is something that should have universal appeal.
Well, some say if this bill became law, this proposed bill, it would give more power to businesses who wanted to refuse service based on religious beliefs.
Abso-freaking-lutely, yeah.
My name's Friday.
Take a lot of kidding about that.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Friday.
And we are back here, The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Now, you heard some comments during that little montage put together by senior executive producer Philip J. Vandenberg III from State Senator Mike Padden about religious freedom. Now, I think there's a distinction here. Gay rights activists do not. See if you agree with me or them. If you walk into a florist or a catering shop or a photographer's studio and you say, yes, would you please take pictures or would you please cater a dinner party for me or would you please sell me some flowers for the office and that person happens to be gay and you don't serve them because they're gay, that is discrimination based on sexual orientation. However, if you do serve gay customers, and one of them says, I want my flowers, I want my pictures, I want my meal, my catered meals, for a same-sex wedding ceremony, and you think that, you know, that clashes with your religious beliefs, do you have the right at that point to say, well, I'm happy to serve you, but I can't serve you for that purpose? I say, well, yes, I think that's a straightforward example of someone exercising their religion by not doing something that they consider wrong or sinful. Gay rights activists say, no, there is no difference. One of them is Bob Ferguson, the state attorney general. He's suing Bernal Stutzman, the owner of Arlene's Flowers, who has had many gay customers at Arlene's Flowers over the years in Tri-Cities and has even employed gays. But she didn't want to put together a floral arrangement for a same-sex ceremony. State Senator Mike Padden is trying to put together legislation that would protect their right not to perform services for things they take religious objection to. Gonzaga law professor and an expert in tort law, David DeWolf, joins me to talk about this legislation. How are you, Professor DeWolf?
Just fine.
Okay, the distinction I made, does it exist in law?
Well, the first thing I would want to emphasize is that the law that would be enacted if this bill makes its way through is much broader and has a much longer history. It's not a reaction to any case, although it might have some application. There are 18 states in the country that have adopted a similar kind of law that protects religious practice generally. So, at the federal level, there's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which operates on a federal level to ensure that the federal government doesn't violate people's religious liberty in the laws that it enforces. But we don't have a similar
if federal law trumps state law, then
but only to the extent that federal law provides a floor that a state can choose to add additional protections. So in other areas like search and seizure, the federal constitution has some minimal protections against search and seizure, but our state constitution has heightened protection of individual liberty, and there's no conflict. The federal government doesn't trump state law in the sense that it prevents the state from providing additional.
All right. So tell us what this legislation would do, and at what point would someone not be able to claim religious a religious exemption?
Right.
From complying with it. I mean, at what point do you say, nah, that's just BS? You just don't want to, serve them because they're gay.
Right. Well, I mean, the first thing is that there has to be a sincere religious belief, not something that I made up to say, my religion requires me to eat steak every night, and therefore you have to serve it to me. But a sincerely held religious belief. For example, let's take someone who is a lawyer who wants to work for the state attorney general's office, but has a religious belief against the application of the death penalty, and they say, "I'd love to work as a state attorney general, but I wouldn't be able to represent the state in trying to impose the death penalty." And the question is whether or not the state is obligated to accommodate a person's religious belief, or whether the state can simply say, "Hey, as long as this is applies to everybody and we didn't single you out, we're going to require everybody to be willing to do this, and if you're not willing to do it, go someplace else to try to find a job." So again, whether it's a person who objects to serving alcohol because their son was killed by a drunk driver, or some dietary scruple that people have as a result of religious belief, this is a much broader protection that says the state has to recognize that when people have sincerely held religious beliefs, we shouldn't basically exclude them from being able to enjoy the same rights that everybody else has.
Okay, so under this statute, would Baronelle Stutzman, the owner of Arlene's Flowers in Tri-Cities, be allowed to say to someone who's wants a floral display for their gay wedding, "I'm sorry, I can't do that. It goes against my religion"?
Well, the primary aim of the bill is to address what the state does. So there's a subsidiary question, which is how do religious freedom or how do these religious freedom provisions affect a civil case In the initial part of it, where you have the state attorney general essentially going after.
Let me ask the question a different way, because we need to cut to the chase here.
Yeah.
Would the state attorney general, if this statute or if this bill became a law, would the state attorney general be able to go after Ms. Stutzman for not putting together a floral display for a gay wedding?
Not to the extent that would interfere with her religious belief. And the state lacks a compelling state interest.
So it's a no.
Each case, I think, has to be addressed on its own merits, and that's one of the...
Well, we're using the most famous example in Washington State right now, and again, if this became law, is Ms. Stutzman protected?
I think, judging the facts of that particular case, to the extent that I know them, The Attorney General would have to demonstrate that there was a compelling state interest in forcing someone to provide this particular service.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about a photographer?
And again, what I'm trying to say is that this law provides a general protection for religious belief, but it also, you know, acknowledges that, for example, if somebody wanted to work for the criminal division of the Attorney General's office, it's different if your bread and butter involves doing death penalty cases compared to saying, you know, this is one of the things you might have to do, but you can otherwise be.
Yeah, well, just have them handle identity theft.
Right, right, yeah. So has the state essentially gone out of its way to single people out because of their religious belief and make them ineligible for the benefits that otherwise they would be entitled to? Or is the state trying to do
its job? Now, what about people
job?
Who belong to what are known as fringe churches or religions?
And again, this is where you have to do a balance between, is there a compelling state interest?
What's a compelling state interest?
Well, one that goes to public safety, that involves some fundamental governmental function that can't be accomplished unless you...
Well, you know what's going to happen here. What's going to happen here, David? Again, my guest, David DeWolf, law professor at Gonzaga Law School, is Bob Ferguson will say the state has a compelling state interest to protect the civil rights of its gay citizens.
Well, and again, I think you have to do a careful evaluation. For example, the difference between race discrimination. If someone says, I have a religious belief that I can't serve people of a particular race, you would say, wait a minute, there's a compelling state interest to say, you know, racism has such a profound effect in our society and it's so far off the scale of what is a permissible religious activity that, you know, we are going to enforce this regardless of your religious beliefs. I think with respect to sexual orientation, there's a much weaker case to say that people who sincerely believe that religion that marriage consists of a particular thing by requiring them to
let's take it a step further. Again, Ms. Stutzman is happy to serve gay customers. She has employed gays at her floral shop, but she didn't want to serve a same-sex wedding.
Exactly.
Okay, now what if she said, well, in my view, in my church, you know, gays are an abomination, therefore I'm not going to allow them in my store.
See, that's a different case, and that's where I think there's a difference between a compelling state interest and one where the state doesn't have that kind of interest and would be unable under this law to cramming down somebody's throat.
Okay, good. Now, we've come full circle because we began with me saying, I think there's a distinction between saying, I won't serve someone of a sexual orientation that I don't like versus my sincerely held religious beliefs will not allow me, if I make money, to provide services for a same-sex wedding.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, you're nice to spend time with us. When will this bill be worked up and dropped as a proposed statute?
Well, the hearing they had the other day was just a work session. Mm-hmm. It probably will be introduced in the coming legislative session.
I'm glad they're laying the groundwork for it now. I would love to see this happen if it is vetoed, and I assume it would be, by Jay Inslee. I'd love to see it on the ballot.
Well, and another thing I want to emphasize again is the fact that this is a much broader law and has a much longer history than as though it were some knee-jerk reaction.
Okay, last question. Last question. Yeah. The freedom of religion, of course, a First Amendment liberty. So, why couldn't Ms. Stutzman take her case to the Supreme Court and say, this is an infringement on my constitutional rights of free of religious association?
Well, under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, they've held a much more limited protection. There's this famous Smith case, the Peyote case, where they said as long as the law is of general application, it's neutral on its face, you can enforce it even though it infringes a person's religious liberty. It's our state constitution that holds a much higher protection for religious liberty.
So if Ms. Stutzman's case went to the state Supreme Court,
Well, one of the purposes of the bill is to clarify what it is that the state constitution requires, and it's uncertain at this point how the members of the state Supreme Court would apply our state constitution to a case like this.
Right. Okay. Professor DeWolf, thanks again for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.